made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day many of us have been preparing and waiting for. This is the fourth Sunday of Advent, so this morning we will be celebrating and hearing from the story of Mary, and then this evening we will celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The services this afternoon and tonight, I want to share the details with you. We'll have a 4 o'clock service, which is especially child-friendly, so we hope that those of you with little ones would come at 4 o'clock, and they will be participating in the service at 4 o'clock. We'll also have communion, and then at 10:30 p.m. tonight, we will have a traditional Christmas Eve service back here in the sanctuary. Next Sunday, we have only an 11 o'clock service as well, with no Sunday school, but there is a 6:30 p.m. service that is a Teze service of worship that will take place, I believe, in the upstairs theater. We are glad to welcome those of you who are visiting with us. I've had an opportunity to meet some family members who are in town and visiting, and we're so glad that you're here this morning. If you're visiting with us for the first time and perhaps are looking for a place to call your spiritual home, we'd love to meet you and get to know you. We have a practice of signing in on the registration pads every Sunday, and hopefully those are being signed as I speak and being passed down the row. And if you would sign in and share an email address or a mailing address, that will give us an opportunity to reach out to you and we can begin to get to know one another. So many ways that we have been doing God's work of love in our community throughout this season, and now we have come to this place to gather and be filled with God's love. So let us open our hearts and minds to hear the good news as sung to us by the prophet Mary this morning.
Of the Father's love begotten, and the world began to be, He is Alpha and Omega, He the source, the end in being. Of the things that are that have,
Greetings, favored ones. Do not be afraid. The Lord is with you.
We light this fourth candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of the joy of Christ coming into our world. Hear these words from the Gospel of Luke. The angel said to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
As we encounter the Spirit of God that seeks out all who are lowly, who are lost, who are abandoned and forgotten, let us together confess our sins. We have refused your will, God Most High. We have relied on our own strength. We have made the powerful more powerful. We have ignored or suppressed the lowly. We have blessed the people who can support themselves and left hungry people to starve. We have celebrated wealthy people and sent poor, sick, and outcast people to early graves. Give us Gabriel's words, "Fear not," and Mary's courage to sing and live them. Have mercy upon us. Overthrow our sin with your strong arm. Cast out our fear. The Holy One forgives and bestows favor on each of us, even and especially when we are lowly in spirit. We are blessed from generation to generation by the Mighty One, whose strength and mercy are forever. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Holy God, help us to give voice to the wonderful news. You yourself are coming to dwell among us. Quicken our imaginations to find new and creative ways to proclaim Christ's coming. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Luke. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel and sent in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to his ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." The word of God for the people of God.
I would like to invite all the children to come forward and join me up here for just a moment. Good morning, everybody. You're not excited at all, are you? Give me a big smile. Yeah, I'm excited too, because it's Christmas Eve. Oh my goodness. This is a day that we have been waiting for. And in church, every Sunday, we've been lighting those candles. We light one new one every week, and the excitement builds, and the excitement builds. And what we are most excited about as we gather today is the birth of Jesus. Now, I know that I am also excited about getting a few presents. Are y'all excited about maybe getting a gift or two? Yeah, that's one of the neat things we do at Christmas, is to be generous with each other and to share gifts with people we love and with others. I don't know about you, but sometimes after all the presents are opened and the room is filled with wrapping paper and the stocking's been emptied, it's all been really fun, but then it's kind of over, you know? There's a little bit of, a little bit of a letdown after that. But that's one of the reasons why it's so important that you're here this morning at church, because we learn about the greatest gift ever given, and that is when God gave Jesus to the world. And that is a gift that continues to fill us and make us happy and give us joy and peace. We'll never be let down by that gift. And the neat thing is, it's a gift. There's nothing we have to do to earn it. That's what makes a gift a gift. So this morning, I want to be the one to remind you, and if you come back tonight, we'll get to be reminded again and hear it again, that God loves you so much. God gave you the greatest gift of all, which is God's very self, God's love. And every time we open that gift, it stays with us forever. Let's pray together. Gracious God, the Bible tells us that you loved us, you loved the world so much that you gave your son Jesus to be with us. Help us to be so grateful and so excited about that gift that we'll share it with everybody. We know your love is a gift that never goes away and never lets us down. So in the midst of all the excitement of today and tomorrow, help us be most grateful for the gift of your son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. Merry Christmas. I imagine most of you have set up in your homes the nativity sets with all the characters in place. Some of you may have the tradition where you wait to put the baby Jesus in until Christmas morning. I love that tradition because this is a season of waiting. And even this morning on the 24th of December, we're still waiting to hear the story of Jesus' birth until tonight. You got to come back tonight and hear that story. This morning, we hear the story of Mary, that moment of annunciation when the angel comes to her and tells her what is going to happen. And she says yes to God, and then she goes to visit her relative Elizabeth. Now, we don't know a lot about Mary. There's a lot of tradition around her, but what the scriptures tell us is really very little. We know that she was a young, unwed woman living in Nazareth when God called her to be the mother of God's son. But we really don't know how old she was. We don't know what her personality was like. We don't know who her parents were, if she had brothers or sisters. All we know is that she said yes. What do you think of when you think of Mary? What kind of person do you think she was? How do you imagine her in your imagination? If you're like me, maybe your image of Mary is colored by your nativity sets or the paintings, the artwork that we've seen. Usually she's wearing blue. She looks very serene and peaceful. I tend to think of her as quiet and contemplative, meek and mild. But this morning, we hear Mary singing a song. We hear Mary, who is a prophet. We don't often think of Mary as a prophet, but here she is announcing what God has done for the world. All the prophets before Mary were filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they announced and proclaimed what God was doing in the world. And that's exactly what happens to Mary. She is filled with the Holy Spirit, and she rises up to sing a song of what God has done. That by choosing her and choosing to come into the world through this child, God has brought down the mighty from their thrones. God has lifted up the lowly and filled the hungry. God has totally reversed the way the world does things. God has ushered in God's kingdom, which subverts all the power structures of our world and undermines the powerful. And you know, the way she sings this song is as if it's already done. God has already done this even before the moment her son is born. She sings this song of humility and love and resistance. Even though the world all around her is shouting down her song and cannot hear it. Even though Caesar Augustus sits on his throne and is putting into place, as she sings, a new tax structure that will require her and her betrothed Joseph to travel all the way to Bethlehem and have this baby in a place that is not their home. Those are the powers that be around her, and nevertheless, she sings of God's triumph and victory and love and reversal. Even though Herod the Great is sitting in one of his many palaces, as in the process of building another one on the backs of the people of Judea, Mary rises up and sings her song of joy and reversal and humility and the lowly being lifted up. Even though she will have to go home to Nazareth and perhaps face shame at the hands of her own people, maybe even be condemned to death because she is with child and not married, she rises up and sings of how God has blessed her and how her name will be glorified from generation to generation because of what God is doing through her in this child. Mary sings a song of love and humility and victory and triumph of God's kingdom, even in the midst of the world in which she sings. Now, at the moment she sings this song, at the moment she utters the words of this prophecy, it's just Mary and her relative Elizabeth. You know the story. Soon after the angel Gabriel announces to Mary that she will have this child, she goes with haste to visit her relative Elizabeth, the only two in the world who know what God is up to. Elizabeth, too, is with child in a miraculous way through the Holy Spirit. And only she can understand. Only she will believe Mary at this point, perhaps. And so the two of them share this moment of joy, a moment of secret. They know what God is up to, and the world doesn't know it yet. But Mary begins to sing her song. And over time, after her child is born, as he grows up and begins his ministry, this song of Mary is fulfilled and spreads and spreads and spreads. Good news to the poor, lifting up of the lowly, the love of God wins. The people of God have always proclaimed the love of God in song. We have always sung the song of God's love, no matter what the circumstances are around us. In 1989, some of you may remember, the Berlin Wall fell. In the months leading up to that fall of communism in East Germany and in those Eastern Bloc countries, there was a faithful group of Christians who gathered every Monday night to pray prayers of peace and to sing. In the East German city of Leipzig, they would gather around the Church of St. Nikolai. It started with just a few hundred, lighting candles, singing songs of joy and peace. And over 2 months' time, it grew to 100,000, 200,000, 300,000. Christians gathered singing Mary's song of peace and joy and lifting up of the lowly and bringing down of the mighty. And eventually that wall fell. And someone was talking to a member of the Stasi, the East German police, about why they didn't arrest all of those people. And this policeman said, well, it's hard to know how to fight against a song. The people of God are called in every way, in the way that we live, in the songs that we sing, to proclaim the kingdom of God. No matter what is going on in the world around us, no matter what we are afraid of, no matter what the powers that be are doing, we gather together and we sing Mary's song of love and joy and peace and hope for all people. The story about the East Germans in Leipzig was one I came across this week, written by a pastor named David Lowes. And he was writing a commentary for us preachers. And he gave a word of advice about today. He said, on this day, instead of preaching a long sermon, why don't you cut your sermon short and give the people some time to sing the songs? And so that's what I want us to do this morning. I want us to take the next little bit of time together and sing some of these hymns, these Christmas hymns, that in one way or another proclaim again this prophecy of Mary, that God has come into the world in the form of a lowly peasant family to save the world with love and joy and peace. So I invite you to stay seated and join with me in singing some of these great songs of God's victory on this day when we celebrate the birth of Christ.
Thank you. As we come to a time of prayer this morning, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share, please fill out a gray card located in the pew racks in front of you and indicate if you would like those to be shared or remain confidential. You can place them in the offering plates as they're passed down the pew in a few moments. This morning, we want to remember Nicole and Tyler Roden. They are mourning the death of Nicole's father, Jerry Robert Lee, who died on December 14th. Among his other survivors are his wife, Yvonne Lee, and granddaughters, Caroline and Anna Roden. Byron and Lynn Linebaugh Jones are mourning the death of Byron's father, Joe Jones, who died December 15th in Campbellsville, Kentucky. He survived also by his grandsons, Reed and Taylor Jones. Sarah, John, Connor, and Aiden Harris are mourning the death of Sarah's mother, Jo Ellen Luscombe, who died on December the 19th. And finally, Virginia Ginny Wilkins died on Friday, December 22nd. Services will be held here on Wednesday, December 27th at 2 p.m., with visitation proceeding beginning at 12:30 p.m. Among her survivors are West End members Christy Ivy, Melora and Davis Turner, Lee and Virginia Ann Ivy, and Reed and Emily Turner. During our prayer time this morning, we will make space for silence so that you may remember those specific prayers and people and situations that are on your heart. When I say the words, Lord, in your mercy, I invite you to respond by saying, hear our prayer. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us pray. Loving God, you sent Jesus into our world to bring us hope and comfort and justice and joy. We are thankful. So in silence now, O God, we offer you our praise. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Mighty God, you sent Jesus to be the light of the world, that peace and justice would reign throughout the earth. As we await the fulfillment of that promise, we offer you our prayers for the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Everlasting God, you sent Jesus to show us how to love one another, and through his ministry, your church was born. We offer you now our prayers for the church universal and all who serve in Christ's name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Ever-present God, you sent Jesus to be Emmanuel, God with us, that we might be strengthened and comforted in our struggles. We offer you now our prayers for those who are suffering. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, you sent Jesus to remind us that nothing in this world can separate us from your love. Remind us once again as we offer you now our prayers for ourselves. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of hope, comfort, justice, and joy, empower us by your Holy Spirit to live out the promises of Advent, that we might be bearers of your hope, your comfort, your justice, and your joy in this world. We ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, the Word made flesh, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In this season of gift giving, let us remember the source of all of our gifts and return our tithes and offerings to God with our thanks and praise.
sang because she knew she carried the greatest news the world had ever heard, that God is with us. Her song has grown in us, and may we carry it out in the world, because we too carry this good news to all in the world. May we sing it with joy, with hope, and may we carry with us Christ's peace. Amen.